You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Unbelievable. The Rockets without James Harden against a Golden State squad with five All-Stars and Andre Iguodala. That's the real MVP, by the way, if you listen to Steve Kerr, at least his insinuations, just went into Oracle Arena and knocked off the Warriors. Houston improves to 3-0 against Golden State this year, 8-5 since acquiring Chris Paul. And yeah, it's that Chris Paul guy, 23 points, 17 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 made threes, possibly his greatest game as Rocket since that incredible Game 5 closeout against the Jazz a year ago. And coming off one of the most deflating Rockets losses of the season against the Lakers, the Scott Foster ordeal, everything that happened Thursday night, it's only fitting in this season of so much volatility that Houston follows it up with perhaps its most feel-good win of the year, improving to 34-25 and somehow splitting this West Coast road trip against the LeBron's Lakers and the loaded and fully healthy Warriors, even after losing the first half in depressing fashion and then losing James Harden, combination of a neck injury and the flu. So with that, welcome into a joyous and lit post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As stated off the top, the Rockets are somehow winners in Oakland against the Warriors, 118-112. We mentioned Chris Paul's fantastic stat line, 23-17, but Eric Gordon actually led the team in scoring with 25 points, also had 4 assists, 8 of 20 shooting, like Chris Paul made 4 threes. Also, Kenneth Faried, starting at the 4, had 20-10. We all wondered if Faried could actually play the 4, and even though he did fairly well in limited minutes Thursday in Los Angeles, a lot of us, certainly myself included, said let's wait and see what happens when he goes up against an elite offense like Golden State that can punish him for his deficiencies in the defensive end. Well, that did not happen. He provided the Rockets more size, more rebounding. Clint Capella had 8-15, but the Rockets collectively actually out-rebounded Golden State with Boogie Cousins. By the way, boy, did Boogie Cousins get exploited in the pick and roll often by Chris Paul. But that taller front line, Capella, Faried, PJ Tucker at the 3, a lot of us wondered if that was feasible. Well, at least against the Rockets' biggest competition, it was. So we'll talk about that as we move our way through our usual 3 points recap. We'll also talk about the importance of the team posting yet another statement win, as mentioned, the 3rd of the Warriors this year. But really, all season long, it's been a season in which the Rockets seem to have played better against the upper echelon competition. The Thunder on Christmas, the Celtics, the Warriors the week after that, the Raptors in January. Time after time, we have seen the Rockets, certainly several times against Denver, play at their best against the top teams. It's been the consistency, for example, finishing off what was a 19-point lead against a Lakers team without a good defense on Thursday, that's been the problem. And of course, you can go back to New Orleans, Minnesota, the games before the All-Star break that they let slip away. But to be able to beat another top team, in this case, the team that is ultimately your biggest competition and the thing standing in the way of everyone in the NBA these days, that's important. We'll talk about that. But in segment one, we're going to go back to that first name I mentioned, Chris Paul. And I know it's a bit weird to talk about an individual even before we go into the team aspects of all of this. But as far as the Rockets individually, to get to where they want to go or to have any chance of it, in some ways, I actually feel better after James Harden missed this game. Now, to be clear, James Harden is the MVP of the league for a reason. If there is any extended absence, and I don't expect there to be, the Rockets talked before the game as if it was more a matter of the flu and that the neck strain, maybe that's related to the screen he took against Steven Adams a couple of weeks ago, that about for the combination of the neck strain and the flu, he'd be out there. So unless you get James Harden back, this model is not sustainable. I understand that. But in the grand scheme, James Harden is not enough. Certainly not against the Warriors with 4, maybe 5 All-Stars, depending on how you view Boogie Cousins. Although, boy, this was the first time the Rockets have played Cousins, and did they exploit him tonight. Boogie had 13 points, 14 rebounds, but the Warriors were a minus 17 in the 27 minutes that DeMarcus played. And, of course, a lot of that goes back to Chris Paul. And the reason that the presence of CP3 and his ability to step up is such an enormous deal is that we have seen in the past, James Harden alone is not good enough. He himself has admitted it, and that's not a knock on James. It's just he needs to have the help to get where they want to go. It can't be the formula in which he has to be Superman averaging 45 a night. And it's not just the outside voices. When James Harden was read the comments from Kobe Bryant and others, he said, I agree. It was just what the Rockets needed to stay afloat until they got Chris Paul back and now Clint Capella back as well. Well, to see the Rockets have a success like they did tonight against that caliber of defense, it's a reminder that Chris Paul still has that hashtag playoff CP3 point god gene in him. Because even though he's been pretty good since coming off the injured list, the nine games, even though the Rockets had lost five of those, his stat line, the net ratings went into tonight, the Rockets were nearly plus 11 with him in the game and like minus four with him out. And he's been averaging close to 18 points, eight assists per game. But there was always the wonder of, okay, how much of it is truly Chris Paul and how much of it is the attention that's being drawn by James Harden and the fact that Chris Paul can be a good number two, certainly a very good number three, but can he actually create his own offense and lead a team as the top option like he could back in the day? I don't know that tonight showed you that he can do it over 82 games. I think clearly at some point his body would probably break down at 33 years old and you're 14. But what tonight showed you was that that level of play is still in him. And that's important because as we get to the playoffs, things are going to happen. You're going to play top shelf defenses. That's why I find it funny to see folks fixate on James Harden's shooting percentages in the playoffs. Well, no duh, he's going to have trouble against teams like Utah and Golden State, two of the top three defenses in the league a year ago, playing them for 12 consecutive games when they are ultra-focused on you, no back-to-backs. Yeah, it gets really difficult. So in some of those games, for certain stretches, you are going to need someone else to take over. We saw it happen Game 5 against Utah when he had 41 in the closeout game. We saw it happen late in Game 4 and Game 5 when the Rockets took the 3-2 lead over Golden State before Chris's hamstring ultimately went out at the worst time. That's unfortunate, and tonight still doesn't guarantee you that Chris is going to stay healthy. That's a big question, but ultimately, if you're a Rockets fan, to have any chance of beating Golden State 4 times out of 7, or any of the other really good teams in the West this year, Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland is rounding into form, it can't be just James Harden. He has got to have help, and Chris Paul, I don't know that he can bring this every night. I don't think that's a reasonable expectation, but the fact that that gene, that ability is still in him, that he can bring that out when the Rockets need it most, that's important. And especially as we get into the playoffs, when you have more time off, more days off in between games, that should make it easier for a guy who is 33 years old, you're 14, to bring it out more frequently. I thought one of the really astute comments from Chris Paul after the game, his post-game interview on the court at Oracle with Lisa Salters, was about how he thanks his wife and his kids for allowing him to watch so much basketball when he's not playing. And what he meant by that was that it allows him to be smart, to play smart, to be able to anticipate. Some of the passes we saw, the 17 assists, he had a behind-the-back dish to a rolling Clint Capella that was just stunning, both from the combination of physically how he maneuvered the ball, behind-the-back pass to hit Capella on the roll, and also how he just saw the court that roll would be there for Clint Capella. The combination of both the physical skill and the mental ability to see the game, that's how you can offset Father Time. Not forever, of course, and we have to knock on wood all the superstitions you may have to keep him healthy, but that's why even at age 33, even at year 14, that's why I never bought the idea that he's washed, especially in games November and December when we know he's playing on a bad hamstring. When the games are meaningful, when he is fully focused, when there's more time off, no back-to-backs, and the lights are on, Chris is going to be just fine. If there were any doubts that I had, it was how much can he truly do as a legitimate star, and how much of it is a guy who clearly has the right savvy, but takes advantage of being the number two or the number three after James Harden. Well, what tonight showed you, even without James playing, for Chris to be able to take over as the number one against an elite squad in Golden State, starting five All-Stars, and with Andre Iguodala, who, according to some, should be an All-Star, I'm rolling my eyes as I say that, coming off the bench, to dissect that defense the way he did, it reminds you that that hashtag playoff CP3 point god, the guy who at times last postseason was the best Rockets player on the floor, even better than James Harden, and at times in the Western Conference Finals with Harden, Curry, Durant all out there, and I certainly don't want to make it seem like the Warriors played poorly back then or tonight. Curry had 25, he shot 50% from the field. Durant had 29 points, although, boy, did PJ Tucker, I thought, played some fabulous defense. Also had 18 and 10, made four threes. Finally, did PJ get going offensively? But there were times, even on a floor with Durant, Curry, James Harden, Chris Paul at age 32 last postseason was still the best guy on the floor. So that's why I never bought into the truly he's washed thing. It doesn't go away that quickly, especially with a player who is that damn smart. So it was never a matter of he's dead, he's gone. It was just a matter of what is the upside. We knew he'd be good. Can he still be elite? Because in a league with the Warriors and Denver and Portland, other squads in the West continuing to get better, the Rockets probably don't need just a pretty good Chris Paul. They need an elite Chris Paul to beat these types of teams four times out of seven. Well, Chris Paul showed you tonight that he has it. Now, it doesn't guarantee health. There's a lot of variables that the Rockets still need to fall into place. But before anything else can happen, as far as the Rockets winning a title, step one is to have a healthy and potentially elite Chris Paul. We saw that Saturday night in the 118-112 win over the Warriors. So be thankful for that. He needs to stay healthy. There's a lot of other things they need to work on. Certainly need to get from being a bad defensive team to hopefully a mediocre one, if not a little bit better than average one. Chris Paul having one game like this does not mean the Rockets are back. After all, it counts just the same in the standings this one as the one Thursday when you let a 19-point second half lead go against the Lakers. But ultimately, in the grand scheme, before we can worry about any of the other stuff, there is no chance at the Rockets being able to win an NBA championship this year without Chris Paul being able to reach into his bag, so to speak, and get that gene that we saw a year ago. You can call it the clutch gene. I used to say on Twitter a lot, Chris Paul has no interest in you losing this basketball game. He still has that. And we need to see it more often. He needs to stay healthy, knock on wood, all the superstitions you may have. But for one night, to me, that is far and away the biggest takeaway. Be thankful that Chris Paul is still Chris Paul. He can be that guy. There's a lot of other things the Rockets need. We'll talk about them as we move our way through the podcast. And of course, as we continue through the days and weeks ahead as this up and down season continues. But far and away, biggest takeaway tonight, beyond just the win, Rockets improve to 34-25. They're now 3-0 somehow against the Warriors this year, including 2-0 at Oracle Arena. Chris Paul is back. He is still that guy. What a sight it is. Welcome back, playoff CP3, point god, whatever you want to call it, however you refer to him, he is still that guy. What a win and what a player. Salute to one of the NBA's all-time greats. Now, jumping back into Saturday night's show, we spent much of the first segment discussing the virtues of Chris Paul, 23 points, 17 assists, 5 rebounds, leading the way as the maestro in a 118-112 shocking Houston win over Golden State, even without James Harden. And although clearly a win like this is about the collective team importance, for Houston, its long-term upside in the playoffs is so tightly correlated with what version of Chris Paul you have. To me, that individual is by far the biggest storyline. That said, for the team as a whole, I know it's weird to talk about that in segment two, but there were a lot of really encouraging signs. First, collectively, the fact they went in there, the Rockets got out to a 15-0 lead. You're playing on the road, Saturday night, ABC primetime game. In that environment, one of the keys, you want to play from in front so the crowd does not get going. Well, even without James Harden, the Rockets were able to do that. They tried an unconventional lineup, which I think to some degree, I think the Rockets clearly thought the Warriors were planning on James Harden, which I'm sure they were until 90 minutes before game time, learning that he was out. So they went ultra big. PJ Tucker at the 3, Kenneth Faried at the 4, Clint Capella at the 5. All three of those guys in double-figure rebounds, actually 35 between them, 10 apiece for Faried and Tucker, 15 for Capella. And I thought that was a savvy move by Mike D'Antoni. Whenever you're undermanned, which the Rockets certainly were against a team that at one point had 5 All-Stars plus Andre Iguodala. Yes, I'm rolling my eyes yet again. But the point is, Golden State clearly had more talent. So the Rockets, they needed, beyond just to play with good effort, we mentioned they were +2 on the glass, which is much needed. They also had only 13 turnovers, which reflects the fact that largely they valued possessions. Also forced 17 turnovers from Golden State. They made, it wasn't a really hot game from 3. That's one of the crazy things. You look at an upset like this, you think, wow, the Rockets must have been red hot from 3. Well, they made 16, but they took 43. That's 37%. That's pretty good. It's certainly better than the 29% they were on Thursday in Los Angeles, but it's nothing to write home about. Ultimately, the Rockets got the win because they outworked Golden State, and to some extent, they out-schemed them. And I think a lot of it starts with Mike D'Antoni, who, by not tipping his hand with James Harden or the big lineup until minutes before the game, it made it tougher for Golden State to be prepared for exactly what rotations the Rockets would throw at them. Personally, if I were in Steve Kerr's shoes, I would have anticipated the Rockets starting Austin Rivers and staying with 3 guards, because that's what they did the last time Houston won at Golden State. They were starting Austin Rivers alongside James Harden. Now, of course, back then, actually, both Chris Paul and Eric Gordon were out. But the point is, Austin Rivers has spent a lot of time starting for the Rockets. I would have anticipated if Harden's out, you just slide Austin Rivers in. Well, Austin's been cold from 3 of late, and he was just 0-4 behind the arc tonight. So the Rockets went bigger, especially for a Houston team that's been struggling on the glass. And boy, did it pay off. For the Rockets as a whole, it's nice to see a team that struggled with rebounds, with defense, with effort, be able to dig in the way they did. And beyond all else, what I think it shows you is a window into the team's psyche, that even after a 48-hour period that was as difficult as we've seen all year, they'd lost 3 or 4 games, they blew a 19-point lead in the second half at Staples Center against the Lakers, against a team that's trailing them in the playoff standings, and with LeBron James potentially poised to make a rise up. They had all the controversy with Scott Foster. James Harden, as anticipated, got a $25,000 fine for all of the things that he said following Thursday night's defeat. So it would have been very easy for the Rockets to be distracted, especially once James Harden wasn't in the lineup, and say, you know what, this just isn't our night. This just is not our matchup. And you know what? They didn't do it. Because even in a season that has had so much upheaval, so much turbulence, there is a belief that when they are right, that when they are focused, that no matter who they play, no matter who is out, because we saw the Rockets post so many statement wins, without Clint Capella, they beat Toronto. Without Chris Paul, they beat Oklahoma City. They beat Boston. They beat these Warriors without both Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. They beat the Spurs in there. The Rockets have posted so many statement wins this year. They're now 3-0 against Golden State, that they clearly believe that even with all of their issues, that when they are focused, when they are healthy, and besides not having James Harden, they also didn't have Iman Shumpert, whose 3-and-D wing skills, this was one of the matchups Golden State that I think you brought him in for. And yet they still found a way, and again, they're now 8-5 regular season and postseason in 13 games against the Warriors since getting Chris Paul. That's important because at this point, look, it is just one game. The Rockets are 34-25, and they're barely still in the 5 spot in the Western Conference, hanging on over some very close competition for the 6, 7, and 8 seeds. And the teams ahead of them, Oklahoma City got a huge double overtime win over the Jazz Friday night. The Blazers continue to play well. They blew out the Sixers, a very good team, on Saturday. Denver continues to mount wins. It's going to be tough for the Rockets to move up the standings. So at this point, never say never. They have 23 games left, and who knows? If the Rockets finally put it all together, they certainly have enough talent to go on a 19-4 type run to close the year. You can't count them out. That said, with nearly 60 games worth of evidence, I think it would be an overreaction to just this one feel-good win and say, wow, the Rockets, they flipped the switch, and now everything that we saw from the first 58 games, including the last 4, which they lost 3 of, well, now we don't have to think about any of that. No, I think that would be a crazy overreaction. ultimately, this is one game of 59 and one game out of what will be 82. And at this point, there's enough data that I think, barring something incredible, and if something incredible happens, great, but I'll happily deal with that if it comes. The reality is the Rockets are probably not going to get the type of seed that they want. They were the one seed a year ago. Even with this defeat tonight, Golden State's 42-17. They're still 8 games up on you in the loss column. I guess we can consider it 7 if you want, because the Rockets had the tiebreaker. But the point is, the one seed's largely out of play. 2 and 3, that's going to be a real uphill climb. That doesn't mean you're not going to make the playoffs by any means. Now, it's not a given that you do, but something that would have to go catastrophically wrong for you not to make the playoffs. The point is, the overwhelming likelihood is that you are going to be the 4 seed, the 5 seed, the 6 seed. And no, it's not impossible. We saw the last championship Rockets team from 1995 win a title out of the 6 seed and beat 4 60-plus win teams in the process. It can be done. The point is, you need to have a resolute belief, if you're going to overcome those odds, and it's still not easy, that no matter the circumstances, even if you're on the road, you have to go in for a tough game 5, a tough game 7, whatever it may be, starting off the series on the road, trying to take the momentum in game 1 and turn the home court around. Those are games that were, quite frankly, the scene, the noise, the atmosphere can drown and overwhelm a lot of NBA teams. That's what happens in the NBA playoffs, the magic of these incredibly intimate arenas, these high-pressure, basically a pressure cooker-type settings. But what the Rockets have shown you all season long is that that does not apply to them. They can beat anybody. Now, the downside is that they can lose to almost anybody, too. And that's daunting, and ultimately it might be that they lose so many games that not having home court advantage or not being the one seed like they were a year ago, that it ultimately costs them. That could be the case. But just as step 1 is having a healthy Chris Paul to have any chance in the playoffs, step 2, given the reality of their record at this point and how difficult it would be to truly make a run up to, say, the 1 seed, the 2 seed, something like that, well, if you're going to make a championship run out of the 3 or more than likely 4 seed or lower, you need to have a belief that no matter where you play or who you play, no matter who's in or out of the lineup, no matter what the momentum is, the circumstances, whatever it may be, that at any given moment, your best can be better than who you go up against. The Rockets have that. That doesn't guarantee success, but it gives you a chance. I would say number 1 is Chris Paul, because assuming James Harden is healthy, he's the MVP for a reason, but is Chris Paul going to be A, at 33 years old, ready to go, and B, healthy? Yeah, that's a big deal. That's clearly the number 1 priority. But the number 2 is, at this point, 34-25, it's not devastating by any means, but you're not where you should be in the standings. So to offset that, when you get to April and May, you're just going to have some games where you're in some gyms that are electric. They're against you. The refs, the crowd, the boos, everything is against you. And you've just got to find a way to dig deep and overcome that adversity. The Rockets have showed you that they can do that. It doesn't guarantee you that they will. Again, the Rockets, they've had a lot of statement wins, and they've also had a lot of really depressing losses. And with the volatility of this team, anything can happen. But the level, the upside wins, which is something I've said before on this show, to be 3-0 against Golden State, to have 2 wins against Denver, to beat the Celtics, the Raptors, all the statement wins, the thunder that we have seen time after time, even with the Rockets having pieces out, many of them on the road, it reminds you of what this team's upside is. And even without James Harden, is this a specific formula that they can replicate that much? Probably not. It's an odd game. Again, a lot of adjustments in the last 90 minutes before tip-off. I think they caught the Warriors off guard. Maybe Golden State took them in somewhat for granted in the first 90 seconds or so of the game. The Rockets without James Harden, that made it a little bit weird. But regardless, over 48 minutes, the Rockets had to sustain some runs. Golden State hit them with quite a few counterpunches, and every time the Rockets, led by Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, their veteran backcourt, they didn't panic. They had the answers, and that level of perseverance, that tenacity, even coming off what happened in Staples Center against the Lakers, the officiating crisis, all the things that have happened, losing James Harden, they believe. It doesn't guarantee that everything's going to be fine, but it gives you a chance. And considering the depths at which the Rockets have fallen at times this year, yeah, at this point, 34-25 with 3 wins over the Warriors, I will happily celebrate on this Saturday night, saying the Rockets have a chance. final thoughts as we close out Saturday evening's show. Again, I'm limiting the scope of my in-game commentary on this one because I think largely this is about more than one game. When you beat Golden State, it's about setting a tone for what we hope is a rematch. We'll see what round it is in the Western Conference playoffs. They are the gold standard. They have won the last two titles 3 times out of 4. And in this weird one with James Harden out, I don't think X's and O's wise, there's too much you can take out of it. Some of what the Rockets did, going big on the front line, Capella, Fried, Tucker, I think caught Golden State by surprise. And in terms of this particular matchup, I don't know how much weight I put, because you'd probably need to see another game to see how Golden State responds to that. And hopefully we don't see another game exactly like this because, well, the Rockets, I'm guessing, will have James Harden back starting Monday, their next game against the Atlanta Hawks. But one trend that is very encouraging to me through two games, and it's more than just this one, we saw it Thursday against the Lakers as well, is how well Kenneth Fareed and Clint Capella have played together. I was a skeptic. I did not think Kenneth Fareed, with his defensive issues at 29 years old, was still capable of playing the four. But boy, has he proven me wrong to this point. And it helps that he's making threes. He made a three against the Lakers on Thursday. He actually made 2 of 4 against the Warriors on Saturday. And that's crucial. He needs to be able to hit a few threes. He also had a couple of 18-footers on the baseline. That's a big deal. But I'm also surprised with how well the spacing works. He's actually somewhat better than you would think at isolating, even as a 4 and a 5. You can see him going up against other big men who are not always the most fleet of foot, especially if they're DeMarcus Cousins. And he's had a surprising amount of success on the floor. It's a bit odd because, and unorthodox, because we've seen Fareed get exploited a lot on the defensive end because he's not that quick side to side, but he actually does move pretty well laterally on offense. It's a bit of an odd phenomenon, but through two games, it's working. And with defense, I don't know that he has magically become a different player, but what's unique about this is that at the power forward spot, 6'8" is not as much of a liability as it is at the 5. And whereas when he was playing the 5, and you had the combination of no lateral movement, being slow reacting, and being outsized by 3, 4, sometimes more inches than that, then it became overwhelming. At the 4, he's big enough to where even if he's not the most fleet of foot, he can still hang around defensively. And offensively, he had a couple of assists tonight to Clint Capella. We saw the big lob he had in the first half, the high-low with Capella on Thursday against the Lakers. And at this point, for a Rockets team that's been really small all season long, if you can trust Kenneth Fareed at the 4, I'm not saying you start him over P.J. Tucker by any means. That would be a joke. And Tucker, as mentioned, 18 and 10. It was another game where P.J., 37 minutes, reminded you why his veteran savvy guarding Kevin Durant is essential to beat teams in the playoffs that have guys, obviously, Durant, LeBron James, if you play the Lakers, the upper echelon scorers. P.J. Tucker, this was a type of game that is made for him. But if you can steal minutes from Kenneth Fareed at the 4, that is a big deal because it mitigates some of the height issues that we have seen all season long. When the Rockets have been such a bad defensive team, what's the most common variable? Well, they get out-rebounded. Why do they get out-rebounded? Because they're so short. And a lot of us thought that because of the spacing, Kenneth Fareed can play at the 4. Well, it's 2 games, but it's not 1 anymore. It's 2 against potential playoff competition in Golden State more than that. If Fareed can play at the 4, all of a sudden it makes you a bigger team. And Capella inside, 15 rebounds, the best plus-minus on the entire Rockets roster tonight. Clint Capella, 8 points, 15 boards, plus 13. I know he played just 28 minutes against a Warriors squad that is high-octane. The pace is a lot, especially Capella's just his second game coming off the thumb surgery. Also, Capella had 5 fouls, which limited him from time to time in the game. But there was a point in which you wondered if a more traditional center like Capella, and he's more athletic than a true traditional type, but the point is that Hampton's 5 lineup, when you have Draymond Green, now Green did leave a little bit early in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury, but he wasn't that effective when he did play. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, plus minus of plus 0. And Capella, there was a time, even a couple of years ago, he was not a good matchup against the Warriors. At this point, he is. And just as you need more height overall, I think that's a big thing. This lineup for tonight, somehow the Rockets out-rebounded Golden State, as mentioned, 48-46. Starting a bigger lineup helped you with that, and having Fareed in terms of the grand scheme of the season, the 82-game grind, if Fried can stop up some of those 4 minutes behind P.J. Tucker, you don't have to be as small anymore. Who knows? Perhaps it changes your buyout calculus to where it makes you even more comfortable allotting what's left of your mid-level exception or your final guaranteed contract, whatever it may be, to Daniel House without having to feel like you have to go out and get, say, a true power forward like the Rockets thought they needed in Markieff Morris. Maybe Kenneth Faried can be that guy. There's a lot of potential ripple effects from that as the season goes along. But assuming they get to the playoffs and get the rematch that they want against the Warriors, whatever round it is, whether Clint Capella is playable against Golden State, and last year was a step forward. He wasn't always playable. In general, Western Conference Finals, it seemed to shift a lot from whether the games were at Toyota Center or Oracle Arena, who was able to dictate the style. Well, in this game, to see Clint Capella at Oracle Arena to post a plus 13 in 28 minutes, and yes, he deserves a lot of, or he should give a lot of thanks to Chris Paul, because certainly Chris, his 17 assists, a lot of them went to Capella in the lob game, so some of Capella's production offensively is a direct result of how elite Chris Paul was as a ball handler, as a passer. But beyond that, the 15 rebounds, the presence he was around the rim, helping the Rockets out-rebound Golden State, no, not all of it was Chris Paul. Some of it was just Clint Capella growing up. And if Clint Capella is playable against the Warriors, that's another thing. It doesn't guarantee you success, but it's one of those things, just like having elite Chris Paul, having Clint Capella able to play 30 minutes or so a night and be a difference maker on the glass and a positive presence defensively, especially for a Houston squad that, other than Capella, doesn't really have any positive defensive players outside of Capella and P.J. Tucker, I should say. Yeah, that's one of those things. It doesn't guarantee you success against Golden State, but it gives you a fighting chance. So as we let out the podcast talking about what Chris Paul does for you, let's close out by talking about what Clint Capella does for you, which is, as far as anchor on the defensive end, a presence on the glass with the boards. He stayed on the court. He was plus 13. He had 15 rebounds, and the Rockets got the win. Salute to Clint, and really, salute to the entire Houston Rockets franchise at this point. With that, I will wrap up our Saturday evening episode, breaking down the 118-112, a big-time feel-good win. Mentioned the franchise with good reason. It took, without James Harden, a Herculean effort up and down that roster. Haven't given a shout-out yet to Gerald Green before I go. I should. 10 points, made a couple of threes, plus 11 in his 22 minutes, coming off a truly dreadful game in Los Angeles against the Lakers. Boy, did he respond. Again, all eight players that played tonight, the five starters, Nene, Austin Rivers, Gerald Green. Nene's a guy, too, by the way. Nene gave him 16 minutes and had 8 points. That's a guy who in the past has not been playable against the Warriors. Tonight, the Rockets didn't have a choice because of the injuries. He stepped up. So, again, it was truly, I would say, a franchise effort, and salute to the Rockets for getting it done. Anyway, this is enough for tonight. I need to get some rest, or at least attempt to. It'll be tough winding down with this adrenaline. I'm sure you guys can relate to that. But we've talked for 30 minutes. That's enough for one night, and I'm sure in the days ahead we'll have even more content. If you want more before our next shows, which who knows, we may even have another one, if not before the Hawks game, and certainly after the Hawks game Monday night, the best place to get that commentary will be on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose, but you can also follow the show at Locked On Rockets, and if you dare, the Locked On NBA Net handle, that's the curated feed on Twitter and Instagram, experts across our wonderful Locked On Podcast Network, covering their teams just like I do here in Houston with the Rockets. Also, if you've not subscribed to the program already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. Even if you can't advertise yourself, which I strongly encourage you to do so, by the way, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. That's the email address. So we've got some great introductory specials. Reach out to me. Also, just basic questions, suggestions as far as the team for the show. You can also ask those. But if you're not interested or unable to advertise yourself, then please, you can also help us out by subscribing and leaving 5-star reviews so that we can boost our subscriber figures and look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model rolling here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Once again, the happy final this Saturday night, Rockets 118, Warriors 112, Rockets improved to 34-25 on the year, and somehow, even without James Harden, moved to 3-0 against the Warriors this season, led by 23-17 from one Chris Paul. What a win for the Rockets. What a showing for Chris Paul. With that, enjoy the rest of your weekends, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.